Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 21st chapter, beginning with the third verse. And John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In seventh grade, my teacher gave me the assignment to do a paper on the mafia. And in my research, I ran across this gentleman by the name of Al Capone and discovered that Al Capone had spent many years on this strange island known as Alcatraz, a federal prison that finally closed in 1963. Because of that paper, I was always fascinated not only with the mafia and Al Capone, but also Alcatraz. And not too many years ago, my wife and I were on a vacation in the San Francisco area and got to go out and for a number of hours tour that island prison, which you can do today. I'd encourage you to go. It's quite a fascinating trip. Our tour guide told us a lot of interesting things while we were there. One that really struck me was how, because it was only a mile and a half off of the shores of San Francisco, the prisoners complained that they could hear the bustle of the city and cars honking and people even talking and having fun. And that just made their situation of living in that island even worse. What a sad picture of where sin and crime takes you. That here they were, just a mile and a half away, separated by water from what many consider to be one of the most beautiful cities in the world, one of the top tourist destinations in the United States and even in the world. San Francisco with the Golden Gate Bridge, nearby the Napa Valley with all of its wineries. Beautiful, gorgeous country around there. And here they sit on this rock island out in the middle of the water. Many prisoners in their dark cells were serving life sentences or waiting to be executed. And they would often find various ways to play cards and do things that kind of occupied their time to give them little light moments here and there, you might say. But they were always living with that underlying reality of their incarceration, that really they were there waiting to die. And I'm sure there were a lot of tears shed out on that island. If not externally, certainly internally, as many of them lay in their cells. Probably tears that were shed not just because of the situation they were in, but because of their own crimes that had put them there. Our tour guide told us that a lot of times supplies would come out about every other day on boats, and the better prisoners were allowed to go down and help unload the boats. And they would stand and try to interview and get answers from the people that were bringing things to them on those supplies about what was life like back in the city, back in a place of freedom. We live here in this world, if you think about it, really in kind of a miniature little Alcatraz. We are born into this prison, and we live in this prison. We find a lot of different ways to occupy ourselves with things that we can do and fun and interesting things to give us light moments in this life. And yet, the underlying reality is that we're really just here waiting to die. And that's just the way it is in this world. The book of Hebrews describes it this way about us, that all of our lives we are held captive by our fear of death. What a picture of this Alcatraz that we're living in. And so because of that, in our world, we have to deal with a lot of tears. We have to deal with a lot of pain and a lot of sadness that we really don't want. We have to deal with problems that happen with our families, with ourselves, with our health, with our jobs. Just imagine today if we allowed everybody here to stand up and for 15 seconds to just explain the most difficult things and painful things you've had to deal with in your life. We couldn't take about two rows of it. We just couldn't handle it. I remember years ago, a radio commentator said, after a horrific event had taken place in the world and was on the news, he said, imagine if we were able to hear all of the trouble that goes on in the world every night on the newscast, every bit of it. We couldn't take it. He said, we would just be overwhelmed by it. And so the tears that are often shed in our lives and in this Alcatraz world that we live in are not simply because of our plight, but they're also due to our own sins and our own wickedness. But in the text before us, someone has arrived to speak to us from another world, from another place where there is no things like death and sin and pain and sadness. The Holy Spirit has sent St. John to you and me, and he arrives with these beautiful words. Hear them again. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Your release from your personal Alcatraz has come in the form and in the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who's come into this world to atone for every sin you've ever committed and to rise victoriously from his grave to give you the hope of your own future resurrection. He's the one who says to you, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's a great verse. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Just think of the great irony now for us as we live in this world. Your future death is now nothing but a doorway into a life without death, ever, ever. That's hard for us to even imagine. To be living, to be alive, to be enjoying things, and never, ever have the cloud of death hanging over us for eternity. What an amazing, beautiful existence this is that our God is promising us. And even though you do not see it right now, and even though you and I don't feel it right now, our Lord says to us that by faith in Christ, we already possess this. And in order to prove that to you, God, when he speaks to you, his faithful, whom he has baptized in the waters of the Trinity and made his own, God, when he speaks to you, he calls you names like this, Jerusalem. That's the name of the city above. That's what he calls you right now in this world, his believers, Jerusalem. He calls you children of light. He calls you citizens of heaven. He calls you already the bride of Christ, who's waiting for you in the beautiful banquet above. And then our text gives us what I think are maybe some of the most beautiful words in the whole Bible. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Think about your mom when there's times when you were really sad and hurt and how she did that for you and the comfort that she could give you. That's even in this fallen world from a fallen mother. When God wipes away the tears from our eyes eternally, we will never cry them again. Nothing again will ever make you sad. Not the condition of the world you live in and not the guilt and the sin that you have now, because Christ has so beautifully and perfectly atoned for it. So no wonder the church of all ages continues to pray and cry out, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen.